Hello and welcome to Geek History Lesson. I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson.
And I'm Jason Blue Lantern Inman. Welcome to your Mind University, because this is the podcast where we cover one character, construct, or event in pop culture and tell you all about it. And this week, we're covering, this is part two of our Blackest Night week.
Welcome back. Welcome back into the Blackest Night Columverse. Where
I don't know what that was.
I don't know. It was Atrocitus. I'm going to go with Atrocitus.
Hello. I'm Atrocitus.
You actually sound like Dr. Claw.
I'll get you, Gadget.
Thank you. It was really good.
I know.
If for some reason you didn't listen to the previous episode, I would highly recommend going back.
Are you serious?
And listening to that. Just re-download that in your feed. Check it out. We are going through our hashtag Blackest Night Club series. If you don't know, Blackest Night is a DC Comics mega event crossing over.
I guess it would be is.
Yeah, it's over, but it still exists. mega event crossing over all titles stemming from the Geoff Johns, Hal Jordan, Green Lantern universe, where basically we introduce black and white lanterns who are good and bad lanterns. There's zombies. Hal Jordan gets a good place in history. It's very cool and very scary. And we are doing this because last year we did hashtag Crisis Club, and our patrons, our super friends over at patreon.com/Jawan, voted for Blackest Night. So here we are.
Yes, and we're giving every one of you listeners here on the normal podcast, an abridged version of our Blackest Night Explained, Blackest Night Club
event.
It's like
the Reader's Digest version.
Yeah, we've condensed these down into 5 episodes, but over on the Patreon, it's 10 episodes.
Including 3 mailbags, including the last one, which is a fabulous interview with someone who worked on Blackest Night.
Just tell him it's Patrick Gleason. There's no points of secrets here.
All right, it's Patrick Gleason.
Nah, just tell him. We're not the Pentagon.
I mean, that's what you think. Have you been to the basement of the Mind University?
Are we the Pentagon? And I didn't know.
Jason and Ashley are in charge of all major American government secrets.
So this is part two. And if you want to hear the full unedited versions of this, go over to patreon.com/Jawin, J-W-I-I-N. And most of these are about an hour.
Yeah.
So actually, you're only getting to hear about 5 hours of the full 10 hours. Plus, it's video. Plus, there's other things. And I want to tell you... when you go over there and you sign up and support the Mind University and listen to the full Blackest Night Club, not only are you going to get the full unedited episodes where we cover all the tie-ins and all that, well, most of the tie-ins, not all the tie-ins.
All the tie-ins Jason chose.
All the tie-ins that matter. You're going to get extra podcasts like Geek History Lesson Extra. So not only do you get Blackest Night Club, you're also going to get access to Crisis on Infinite Earths Explained, the entire Crisis Club.
Yep.
And also Geek History Lesson Extra. Ashley, they don't know what that is. What is Geek History Lesson Extra? What is this bonus that they can get for supporting us?
Oh boy, if you don't know, this must be your first episode. Welcome. Geek History Lesson Extra is an extra 15 to 45 minutes that we do after each episode. It is a much more loosey-goosey conversation. If you miss the early days of swearing on this podcast, we bring that back. And honestly, it's one of the most fun things that we do over on the Patreon. We really let loose, and the opinions are unrestricted over there. Every week we have a Geek History Lesson Extra over on Patreon.
That's right. And next year in 2021, the plan is to add more podcasts. So if you want more podcasts that star me and Ashley talking about various different content with other guests, head on over there, support this podcast. But enough ado, it is time to enter episode 2 of Blackest Night Explained, Blackest Night Club. My friends, don't forget, you want to hear the full unedited versions. I know we're like a broken record, but it's the end of the year.
Also, the unedited versions are cool because our amazing editor, the Savage Sword of Adam, really outdid himself this year.
Yeah, it's one of these things... I think if you only listen to this, you're losing a lot.
Yeah.
You are really, really losing a lot.
Go check it out. Wait for the Robin party experience. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. So, okay. Enjoy Blackest Night Explained, part 2, Blackest Night Club, part 2. And with enough ado, let's enter
the Blackest Night.
Hi, I'm Jason.
And I'm Ashley.
And welcome to Blackest Night Club. This is where we are diving into the important events of the DC Comics mega event called...
Blackest Night!
That's right, Blackest Night. Explosion logo on the thing. Because I love to make more editing for our amazing editor, Adam Slekta. Savage Sword of Slekta, or Adam, however you want to call that.
pop that on the screen, Adam, because you're awesome. All right, so this is where we are looking for Easter eggs. We are giving theories. We are talking about how you can do this massive DC Universe event in live action. And if you haven't read it yet, there will be spoilers. We have an official reading order that you can find online everywhere, especially on our Patreon, and that's how we'll follow along if you want to follow along as well. So if you do not know what Blackest Night is, fun fact, we're going to say this every single time we do one of these videos, it's Black Lanterns, aka superhero zombies, invading the DC Universe. Thanks a lot, Hal Jordan.
You know, Hal Jordan is single-handedly responsible for a lot of bad things that happen in the DC Universe.
Hal Jordan did it. Not my baby Kyle right here on my shirt. Kyle, he brings back the Green Lantern Corps.
We actually have a lot of Kyle to talk about over these next couple episodes.
Mr. Jordan, he destroys it. More than once. Anyways, okay, so today's video we'll be covering Green Lantern number 45, Blackest Night number 3, and Green Lantern 46. Of course, there is a link to pick up Blackest Night in all its various forms in the description below, so go check that out. All right, let's jump into some Blackest Night, Ashley. We're going to start with Green Lantern issue number 45 with a cover date of October of 2009. This was written by Jeff Johns, penciled by Doug Monkey, inked by Christian Alamy and others, colored by Randy Mayer, lettered by Rob Lee, and edited by Eddie Berganza. Now, Ashley, this is a Carol Ferris heavy issue.
Yes.
Who is Carol Ferris, in case somebody doesn't know?
Carol Ferris is the woman who's way too good for Hal Jordan, but like so many women in this world, lowers herself to chasing after him, despite the fact that he treats her like garbage.
Wow, you have a lot of thoughts on Hal Jordan, don't you?
I do. I really like Carol Ferris.
Yeah.
And I like Carol as a Star Sapphire.
Mm-hmm.
I think she gets to be really badass. I think there's some incredible art of her in this issue. And like, honestly, she is way too good for Hal.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be real about it.
Well, I want to talk about some stuff in this issue because Carol at certain points says that, hey, Hal, we're not like Barry and Iris mm-hmm. of The Flash, and we're not like Lois and Clark, which is, of course, Superman and Lois. And then there's also something interesting because Carol, who has probably been the character that has been a Star Sapphire the most.
Yes.
Because she was a Star Sapphire from the original Silver Age. But we also find out in this issue that she is the only Star Sapphire that can control her ring, because the other Star Sapphires become mindless with love.
They become slaves to their rings.
They become slaves to love, which also sounds like a bad movie that was possibly written by Mick Rory on Legends of Tomorrow.
Mm.
Yeah, Rebecca Flowers. Probably
I'd watch
that.
It.
Yeah.
I am Rebecca Flowers.
Yes. So, what do you think about this, giving this focus of a title called Green Lantern to Carol Ferris?
It's interesting, and I think it's a bit overdue.
Yeah.
I think Carol deserves more focus. I think of all the auxiliary superhero spouses, because she came up in the same class as Iris and Lois, and
yeah.
they're very similar archetypes, but I actually think Carol's probably the next to Lois the most independent, the most driven, so I like that we spend most of this issue dealing with Carol, and especially because the cores and the color cores at the time of this publication was so new still, I think the fact that even though it's called Green Lantern, we're taking this opportunity to deal with what a Star Sapphire is and how they might be useful, I think is actually a really intelligent choice in terms of the overall pacing of the event.
Now, I also want to talk about, there's another female character in this book that I want to bring up, Alpha Lantern Boudica.
Yeah.
Now, Ashley, do you know who Boudica is?
Well, I know that Boudica was a Celtic war...
Am I saying Boudica? Boudica?
Well, Boudica is a Celtic historical figure.
Got
she was
it.
A goddess. She took on a bunch of Romans, and she was a real badass, and she led an army. That's why I assume this character is named after. The spelling is different, obviously. But I am not super familiar with the Alpha Lanterns.
Oh,
and
up.
Let me tell you, in the reading that I did for this, they're real dicks.
Yes. Now, let me explain what the Alpha Lanterns are.
Please.
Now, basically, the function of an Alpha Lantern was to serve as a special detachment to the Green Lantern Corps. They are basically the Eternal Affairs section of the Green Lantern Corps. Now, to serve as an Alpha Lantern, an officer was required to abandon all aspects of their prior life. Kind of like a Jedi, you were supposed to abandon all attachments, and then they had to undergo a advanced cosmic surgery, which enabled them to interface with their power batteries, basically making them walking power batteries.
Oh, so they're ion.
Yes, they're cybernetic. Here's the scary thing about Alpha Lanterns. It's revealed that a lot of the new components of an Alpha Lantern Manhunter tech.
Yes, I knew that. Yeah. I knew they're sort of the ups, their version 2.0 of the Manhunters.
Now, the advantage of an Alpha Lantern is that the Alpha Lanterns are directly linked to the Guardians of the Universe.
Yeah, which turns out to not be such a good thing.
And the second thing is that they never need to recharge the ring.
Which is a huge...
Yep. Now, initially, there were six picked to be an Alpha Lantern. One of those six... was John Stewart, who turned it down.
Interesting.
Who did not want to give up all his connections.
Cool.
Now, there's something really cool in this issue, and I want to bring it up, because a lot of people may not know this about me, but I love Sinestro.
Yes, you do.
And I think Sinestro is such a great character, and I think one of the best things about Geoff Johns' Green Lantern run is the relationship that he creates between Sinestro and Hal Jordan, because they are friends.
Fun fact.
They were friends.
Jason just bought a Sinestro action figure.
I did.
At the time of this recording. We'll put a picture of it in the feed.
But this is a slight retcon where we learn...
Okay, I have thoughts.
About... Aaron Sir, the sister to Abin Sir. Ashley, let's remind everybody who Abin Sir is.
Abin Sir is the person who protected Space Sector 2814?
Yep. Before Hal Jordan.
Before Hal Jordan. He's the pink guy who crashed into the planet, gave Hal his ring. It was supposed to go to guys.
All right, so what are your thoughts on this?
So I was reading this, and I was like, who is Aaron Sir? Why
have I
never thought about Aaron Sir before? And so I was going to just simply show up on this episode and ask, Jason, did Aaron Sir exist before this?
No.
No. She was introduced in this issue. Yeah. This is her first appearance, and... I like it less that she didn't exist before this.
Why?
Because of the fact that this is a Star Sapphire issue and this focuses on Carol, and in this issue and in some issues that are coming up, we do focus so much on their relationship and like whether or not they should be together and whether or not one of them deserves the other one, etc. I think it's too obvious to give Sinestro a love interest that we've never... I wish it would have been a character we had heard of before, even once.
Like Saronic's mother, maybe?
Well, see, that's the other thing. And Saronic, obviously... a favorite of mine, a huge part of the Green Lantern core storyline.
By the way, I don't know for 100%. Don't quote me on this. I don't think we've ever met Saronic's mother.
I don't think so either. I don't know if Aaron Sir is her mother.
No, Aaron Sir is not her mother.
Aaron Sir died on Korugar.
Aaron Sir is a different species.
Look, they're aliens.
They're all pink, but
who
I know that Aaron is a...
Who knows?
Aaron is not a Korugarian.
I don't even know how Korugarians reproduce. Maybe she budded out of Sinestro's
through
side
Vegemite.
For all I know.
I've been told through Vegemite.
I would have rather we didn't create someone. And I think making her name one letter different from Abin Sir, I think it's a little... I think it's all too easy and
too
convenient.
Also, Abin's son, I believe, is Aaron.
Yes, or Aron or Aron. Yeah. I just think it's all too convenient.
I don't mind this.
I don't hate it. I just think it's...
I don't mind this because, to me, the fact that we've never heard of her before is part of Sinestro's character. He is so secretive. Mm-hmm. He is so fearful to tell anyone about that he has love and emotions and things like that. To me, it fits perfectly in his character that we've never heard of.
I mean,
before.
She's beautifully drawn.
Yes.
Carol looks incredible throughout this. And then later on, as we go and meet some other core members, like everyone looks awesome. Larfleeze looks some of the most awesome he's ever looked in this issue.
Do you want to talk about this end scene with Larfleeze? Because it deals with one of your favorites.
I have all in caps in my notes. It just says glomulous.
Yes.
So as has been happening up to this point in the event, the Black Lantern rings, of course, reach
everywhere.
What's that planet? Okara, which is where Avaris, the Orange Lanterns, are based. And Larfleeze at first he wants all the rings, and then he doesn't want the rings because they're trying to take his lantern. And then, of course, they resurrect all of the dead Orange Lanterns, including the Construct / Kyle Rayner's pet, Glomulus.
Glomulus.
And I was truly
that's
thrilled.
My impression of Glomulus. Glomulus.
Yeah, that's like a running joke in our...
Glomulus.
In our Green Lantern history, but I was absolutely thrilled. He looks really scary, and that's, like, very upsetting, and I can't wait to see more of him. But one of the coolest things I think about Blackest Night is Geoff and all the other writers make really smart, really interesting choices about who they're going to resurrect.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I recognize them, and sometimes I don't, and you recognize all of them. And
that's not true, but, you know.
It's kind of a fun, like, chess game through the DC universe, and Glomulus, for me, was a real win here.
Yeah, because did it make you forget that all of the Orange Lanterns are people that largely... Fleas has killed.
It did, because I knew Lyra Fleas was the only one, but I didn't really know why.
Because all the rest of the people are constructs that he made,
and he
does it as, like, they are people that have tried to steal the Orange Lantern. So at one point, Glomulus was a real alien that tried to steal the Orange Lantern, and Lyra Fleas killed him.
Poor sweet baby angel, he just wanted a Green Lantern.
And I believe that's all of this issue.
Pretty much. Let's move on.
All right, now we're going to be talking about Blackest Night number 3 with a cover date of November 2009. It was written by Jeff John, penciled by Yvonne Ries, inked by Eau Claire Albert and others, colored by Alex Sinclair, lettered by Nick Napolitano, I'm never going to get that name, and edited by Eddie Berganza and Adam Slagman.
Love you, Nick. You do great work.
Okay. He does do great work.
There is so many words on these pages.
We have to talk about, I actually really enjoy the Blackest Night issues because they're the big event mamma jammas here. But I also, one of the reasons why I enjoy Blackest Night is because I do feel a lot of the tie-ins are not wastes of time.
Uh-huh.
They actually do contribute. Like right now, you might be thinking to yourself so far in this club, you might be like, well, what does the Batman one have to do it? And it does. We haven't got there yet, but at the end of issue 3, Batman will figure out something that will play on into the rest of the issue. So that's why I appreciate it. And here we get this thing where Flash tries to pull off a Black Lantern ring off of one of the, I believe Black Lantern Firestorm is who he tries to pull it off. And he hears a voice be like, he will rise in Vader.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is something very interesting, Ashley. And like, now let me ask you this, Ashley.
Yes.
At the time this was being published, and I was reading this live.
Yes.
There were so many theories about what was causing the Blackest Night.
They tell you exactly what's causing the Blackest Night. Well, they, like, you meet Scar and you see the rings and, like, they tell you that it's a prophecy that has to be fulfilled. Did people need more of an explanation than that? Oh, I was like, great, we're having Blackest Night.
As we have read this about so far, we know there's something else.
I guess I've literally given it no thought.
And this little ring, like, pulling the ring off and be like, you will die, Invader, is part of those pieces.
I'm here in this issue for Mara showing up and kicking butt. That's what I'm here for.
Well, I'm here.
I think there are so many words on these pages.
I'm here in this issue for the arrival of Indigo One.
Oh, the Passion Tribe
finally shows up. I love their design. I love that they can use the green light of will, and I love that they're able to finally kill the first Black Lantern here. And this is Indigo One and Indigo Two.
Indigo Two with his Thanos chin.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about the Indigo Tribe?
Love them. They're great. More Indigos, please. They're very neat, and I think sometimes it's easy with the cores to get them very muddled, and they just feel like they are different colors for the sake of, we all know Roy G. Biv, but I think Star Sapphires, and I think Blue Lanterns, and I think Indigo Tribe are the three most distinct, and I knew that they stood for compassion, but like, they're like real genuine badasses, and I love...
And they had not appeared until this event.
What a great introduction, and like, I love that Indigo One is 9 feet tall.
Yep.
Like, that's awesome, and she's got a receding hairline. Like, everything with her in this issue, including the awesome double page spread that's impossible to read in the omnibus because it's printed the wrong way, I think is gorgeous. I love that they don't have belly buttons.
Excuse me.
But I think there's so much in this issue. Like,
but
I actually
but
don't think
in
this...
In event, there should be a lot.
I guess, but I think this could have been 2 issues. I think this is too much crammed into 20 pages, and I think it would have been better if we'd spent more... I think if one of them was the intro of Indigo Tribe and the other one was the Firestorm stuff.
Well, I want to talk about a little bit what Indigo talks about in that double-page spread.
Cool.
So basically, she gives the basic 411 of this event and basically talks about that once there was the white light of creation that made sentient beings, eventually darkness fought back, splintering the white light into 7 different lights of the emotional electromagnetic spectrum. With the 7 lights of the spectrum now harnessed by the various lantern cores, the darkness considers living beings invaders of the universe.
Hey, we heard invaders before.
Yes. On their own, the 7 lights are unable to harm the Black Lanterns, but combined with the green light, the center light, they are able to weaken Black Lanterns and make them invisible. Now,
I bet that'll pay off in a coming battle.
Yeah, it's probably going to be set off. Now, there's also a theory in this with the Atom talks about that the Atom, Ray Palmer, theorizes that the rings are an organic computer that downloads the bodies and the memories of the original person, but Hal and Barry think that they are actually fighting the dead bodies of the people. Now, this is something that is never confirmed either way. Ashley, which explanation of the Black Lanterns do you like better? Are they the people, or are they like weird viruses that are taking over the bodies?
No, I like it if it is a physical body that is being taken over by something.
So you like that it's the virus, like you like Ray Palmer's explanation.
I do. And what's so funny to me about reading the Blackest Night, the title Blackest Night issues in particular, is reading this having now spent so many years so deep in the Arrowverse.
Sure.
This is reading proto-Arrowverse. It has a lot of the same characters. Like, watching this...
Well, this is 4 years ahead of the Arrowverse.
But I think you can tell, especially when you look at, who Geoff Johns likes, and ultimately...
And he wrote the Flash pilot.
Ultimately, who was pitched. And, reading the scenes between Hal and Barry remind me of Hal and Ollie scenes. Like, I get real Arrowverse vibes from the Blackest Night issues.
All right. Okay, so really quickly, Indigo One says that they must get all the seven cores, and she basically rips Hal Jordan away and says, let's go to the two people that you have the biggest connection with, Carol Ferris and Sinestro. And, remember we read another issue in this bunch?
Where they were together?
Where they're already together?
OMG!
It's like somebody's writing this.
Can we talk about the Firestorm stuff?
Yes, I want to talk about that. Okay. So, Black Lantern Firestorm is able to separate Jason and Jen, who were the current Firestorm at that. Then Black Lantern Firestorm, who is basically Ronnie Raymond, absorbs Jason, and then he torments Jenna, turning her into table salt and ripping out her heart. What do you think about this death?
Brutal.
I think it's pretty sad.
Way to kill a person of color who's also a lady. That was really well done. I think it's actually a really smart way to torture Jason.
Yes.
And I think it's so smart that he's in there and that he's stuck inside of the physical body, because, mark my words, people who haven't read ahead, this is gonna pay off later, I bet. Like, we're gonna have a scene where Jason's able to take back over the Firestorm body, or take back the Matrix. And I think setting it up like this and having it come from tragedy is really cool. And I mean, I don't know much about Jen, so I assume it's a bummer that
this
she dies. I don't think she comes back. But having Jason use, because Jason, I think his specialty is specifically organic matter.
Yes.
I think using what is special about him compared to the other Firestorms is really smart. But I think this is maybe the saddest death we've seen so far.
Yeah, I agree.
For a character that I'm not very attached to.
All right, great. Let's talk about the next book, which is Green Lantern number 46. It has a cover date of November 2009. It was written by Geoff Johns, penciled by Doug Monkey, inked by Christian Alamy and Moore, colored by Randy Mayer, lettered by Rob Lee, and edited by Eddie Berganza. First off, I love the cover of this book with Carol, Hal, and Sinestro all team. It's how it, like it's to
Girl's
me.
Girl's boobs defy gravity a little bit.
Well, she's in space. to me, it says Hal Jordan and friends. Like, this is every important relationship in Hal Jordan's life.
Yes, I don't know if I'd call Sinestro his friend.
Sinestro is Hal Jordan's best friend.
Sinestro is Hal Jordan's. He epitomizes to me the idea of a frenemy, which is not a word that I like, but that is who he is.
That's the reason why Hal Jordan and Sinestro are such enemies, because they were best friends.
Yes. They have my two single favorite lines in all of Blackest Night so far are in this issue.
Ooh, we gotta get to them then. But first, we gotta talk about Hal Jordan coming in hot.
Okay, so it's about that.
From Blackest Night 3
in
this issue.
In this splash page, Sinestro is narrating, and there's two caption boxes in his brain.
Read
and
them.
It says, talking about Hal Jordan, he arrives as he always does, loudly. And to me, if that is not Hal Jordan in a nutshell, and I can hear Mark Strong saying it and being so annoyed in his own brain. And I think
he always does, loudly.
Yeah, I think I'm responding to that same thing that you were talking about their relationship, but it's my favorite, just two sentences that we've seen so far. I think it
is
genius.
Am I remembering wrong that this issue is mainly from Sinestro's point of view?
I believe it's all from Sinestro's point of view.
Okay, yeah.
But obviously Carol is, and we get some,
we'll get to it. Don't skip too far ahead.
It's pretty much all, but there is some Carol stuff later, and we actually get the first kind of beginnings of a conversation that we're going to see repeated a couple times about whether or not Hal and Carol really love each other, and
should
what their relationship is.
Yes.
Which I think is interesting.
That's why we got to talk about, like, there's a moment in this where Hal asks Carol if she's in control, of course.
Yeah.
Because she hasn't been
and
in control.
She gets real snippy, as she should.
And then we should also talk about the interesting thing that happens to the Star Sapphires. The fact that Prince Khufu and Shiera of Earth, do you know who those are, Ashley?
Well, Khufu was a real Egyptian historical figure who built the tallest pyramid.
They are the original Hawkman Hawk.
Yes, and but he is a real historical figure who built the tallest pyramid.
This is a Geoff Johns retcon that the idea that inside the Star Sapphires, the ultimate thing of love, that the bodies of these two are in there. Well, they get a black lantern ring and they come to life, and it also frees the Predator from the Star Sapphire lantern.
Holding cell,
Do you remember who the Predator is?
Nope.
The Predator is the embodiment of love, like Ion is the embodiment of will.
Cool.
But then we go to Khoragar, and we get Sinestro versus Mongol. Ding, ding, ding. Oh, five round fight.
If you will recall, is trying to take over and trying to make it the Mongol Corps now.
Yes, Mongol classic Green Lantern villain.
Yes. And about 800 times bigger than Sinestro. So the ensuing fight is, like, really cool.
There's also, for the Black Lantern action figure line, DC Direct made a badass Mongol figure that was oversized. It's really cool.
Cool. I have made peace with the fact that over the weeks that these videos are going out, every week is just action figure spotlight for a different Blackest Night figure.
They made a lot of them. Are you going to share every one of them?
I'm going to try. I'm going to share all the ones that we reference. And then all the ones that we have, because we have a lot of them.
It's funny, I only really have the main heroes. I never really bought many of the Black Lanterns, but I do want to buy the Black Lanterns. There are two Black Lantern Supermans, and I kind of do want both of them.
Cool. So check that out for the Mongol.
We got to talk about how Sinestro beats Mongol. Not only is this fight amazing, drawn by Doug Monkey, but I love the way Sinestro beats Mongol, because it's almost the most Sinestro way ever. You find out that Sinestro doesn't trust anybody but Sinestro, and he built an override into every yellow ring so that at any point, Sinestro could be like, override, kill that person.
I mean, talk about fear.
Yeah.
Fear of your subjects.
Fear of trusting anyone.
Yeah. This is why his relationship with Abin Sur's pretend sister didn't work.
Yes.
And she got crushed.
And speaking of that, at the very end of this issue, the cliffhanger of this issue is the Black Lantern of Abin Sur and his sister Erin show up.
Yes, they do. We both died.
And then it's very telling, and I like this because even Hal Jordan is Erin.
Who is Erin?
Yeah.
Yep.
I think it's really good.
It's going to pay off, I bet. Sinestro's going to have to fight her.
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
All right, so Ashley, I want to ask you, we've gotten to the end here of all these issues, and I want to ask about, what do you think about this next chunk, or this chunk we just talked about of Blackest Night? How do you think it's progressing? Anything is interesting you? Excited for the story so far?
Yeah,
what are your thoughts?
I think this is a lot of setup. I think the first chunk of books that we read for the last episodes were like, this is really exciting, and like, we're throwing all the spaghetti at the wall and seeing what sticks.
Yep.
And now that most of the spaghetti has stuck to the wall, these issues feel like now we're trying to make the sauce, but now we're going to let you watch how we put all the ingredients together.
Yeah.
Like I said, like, I think there are just so many words in this, and we're trying to lay a lot of groundwork for what I assume is going to pay off in the closing issues, because you and so many other people love it so much. So I didn't...
Oh, the Indian Blackest Night is so good.
I didn't enjoy these issues as much as I enjoyed the previous issues.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And I'm just hoping that it's because there's a lot of exposition. Like, there's a lot to tell us, and they're taking these middle issues to do it. They're not bad, but I enjoyed the first batch more.
Interesting. I would say that I love this batch because the Indigos. The Indigo showing up finally feels like, oh, we're cooking. We're cooking We're cooking here. Yeah.
Cool.
All right. So now there are plenty of other issues to tie into Blackest Night. We're only covering the most important ones here on Blackest Night Club. But if you need to read it all, here is some stuff you can read during these issues to make stuff make a little bit more sense. All right. Now let's talk about Blackest Night Legacy. Ashley, I want to talk about the legacy of the Indigo Lanterns and also Carol Ferris. Let's talk about this. The Indigo Lanterns. What are the odds we see them in live action Green Lantern TV show? What do you think about them? Again, this is their first appearance. You remarked how cool they look.
They are so cool. I really do love them.
I love the action figure. I have them too.
I think our chances of seeing them in live action are limited.
Ooh, why?
I think they are slim to none unless we are doing a straight-up adaptation of Blackest Night, which is very likely to happen, as we've talked about before. Mm-hmm. Because when we have seen Green Lantern stories adapted for animated series, whether that's Justice League or Green Lantern, the animated series, there's sort of, you tend to see the Red Lanterns, you tend to see the Yellow Lanterns, and you tend to see the Blue Lanterns, and all the others maybe appear here and there. The Indigos aren't one of the more popular, easy to translate. Like, it's difficult. They're like Vulcans. Mm-hmm. It's difficult to present a warrior monk who is calm on the surface. Mm. That's not as exciting as Atrocitus, who's going to come in and, like, beat your
monster
face.
Villain.
Yeah. So I think if we see them, if it's a television scenario, I think they're a later season or an event. Mm-hmm. If it's a film, I think we would see them for the last battle. I don't think we're very likely to see them. Do you?
Yes, I think 100% we'll see.
Why?
Because I think we're going to see Blackest Night. And I think they're when you, the whole idea of Blackest Night is all seven.
Yes.
I actually think they'll be a bigger part of a Blackest Night if there were to be movie or television show than they would be in this.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, having not read ahead,
now,
I'm assuming...
Now, I will say, too, the Indigo Lanterns also play a huge part in the Green Lantern post Blackest Night.
Okay.
So
I was going to say, even though I haven't read ahead, I'm sure there's a panel where there's someone from every colored ring and they're all fighting some black.
You can
black
Google
lanterns.
And find that image. It's pretty
easy. Yeah.
So. All of them. I want to talk about as well Carol Ferris. So we've already seen Carol Ferris in live action in the Green Lantern movie.
Yes.
If they bring Carol Ferris back, mm-hmm. do you think they're going to make her a Star Sapphire like right out the gate?
Probably.
Or do you think they'll leave her normal?
I think if they bring her back, I think they'll make her a Star Sapphire pretty quick.
Pretty quickly.
Obviously it's going
to... give her something to do, basically?
Yes. Yeah. It's going to start Hal, and so you got to have Hal have his origin or, like, whatever. God forbid we met him in Meter Res. I think so, and especially because in a post-Arrowverse, we really like to give girlfriend characters and mm-hmm. wife characters autonomy and something to do. We're seeing that more with Iris on The Flash this season. I think that there's a good chance that Carol will be a Star Sapphire. I'm here for it. I hope the costume covers more of her body than it does in the comics, because space is cold.
Yeah. All right, so I actually think this is starting to get to the point where I'm starting to remember why I love this event.
Uh-huh.
Like, the pieces are coming together. I just think the way the chess pieces are moved in this event, I think, are very smart. And again, each moment, you're going to see, as we start building more and more and more of the different colored lanterns, to when we get to the point where they get all seven,
uh-huh.
it is like the moment in the first Avengers movie where they all stand together. Yeah, it is exactly like that moment. The first time you see that two-page spread where they're all together, you're like, whoa, this is so cool. Like, I cannot believe that I'm reading a Green Lantern comic book that has, and especially since they've been building for basically 50 issues of Green Lantern.
Yeah.
To this point, it's pretty amazing. So this batch of Blackest Night, again, is getting me excited. So again, there are plenty of other issues of Blackest Night that you can read. I mean, usually I tell you all about them in the Blackest Night buffet, but there are no other issues to read. That was it. Just read the ones we talked about. Don't put any more on your plate, guys. You've had too much of the buffet. All right, thank you so much, guys, for supporting us over at patreon.com/Jawin. You guys are the ones that made Blackest Night Club possible. Thank you so much for watching, all you ring slingers out there. We hope you're enjoying it, and thank you for watching it. I'm Jason.
I'm Ashley.
And Blackest Night Club, you suckers.